Domestic Disputes. My name is Russell Hicks. With me, as always, my life partner, my girlfriend, my flatmate. Hey, first and foremost, I see you as a rent payer.
Yeah.
All right? My flatmate and Zara Berry. Zara Berry. But see, we don't live in London anymore, so I don't need you in that same way. Does that make sense? And I hope you know that.
Our relationship has gone to another level.
It's more pure.
It's not based on financial
gain. That's
anymore.
What I meant. That's what I meant by I don't need you.
Financial need, yeah. It's just emotional now.
Yeah, I just rely on you. It's just a regular old unhealthy emotional codependency coming on from my end.
Yeah.
Huh?
I think that's an improvement.
I think so too. I think it's much more pure and preferable. Zara, without further ado, let me just raise one of the topics going on in culture today. Apparently, you know Gen Z?
Yeah.
Well, they love to just tell us, you know, tell us old millennials what's going on, right? What we need to do. That's what I love about Gen Z, old millennials. One of the things they've said, skinny jeans.
Not in any.
They're out.
Yeah. And you know what? I never actually ever make a conscious decision to follow fashion. But when I read that skinny jeans were out in the Gen Z community, therefore, if you see anyone in skinny jeans, it's automatically going to age you into the millennial zone. I was like, do you know what? I'm going to get down with the kids. I've been wearing skinny jeans for what? The best part of 10 years, maybe over 10 years. And I feel like they've kind of been like an oppressive nature that I haven't really been conscious of before, because taking them off and going from, you know, the skinny jean, like it's almost like the corset did back in the day when women were like, Coco Chanel was like, you don't have to wear a corset anymore. You can just like, you know, wear trousers and whatever. I was like, I bought a pair of bootleg jeans. And I have never felt so free. And I just wondered why I spent the last 10 years of my life compressed.
So you're saying it was an actual, you're feeling, what is this oppression that it's just so tight?
I think the blood is now going to my head.
Well, I'm going
to
say the skinny jean for me jumped the shark very early on. Because, you know, early 2000s and when I was a young man, when I myself was a Gen Z, spoiler alert, you get older, arrogant little Gen Zers.
Well, you weren't a Gen Z, though. You were.
No, but I mean, yeah. Well, you know what? Everyone was a Gen Z.
In your prime.
No, everybody was a Gen Z. It's not like a new thing. Everyone was a Gen Z, because I just think anyone who's young and annoying and has like a genocidal disdain for the elderly is a Gen Z, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. I don't think they generally have a disdain for the elderly. I think they're
You ever heard these kids talk? On TikTok?
Every generation is reinventing the narrative, I guess. And now it's like, you know, the current Gen Z or generation is very climate change, very vegan based. And as we've seen from the article I read, very anti-skinny jeans.
Well, that's,
and I'm with them.
Well, that's the one thing they got going for them, yeah.
Because
they're a little more conscious. By the way, we laid the groundwork for that. So thanks a lot.
I mean,
the millennials paved the way for you kids to come in and just collect the appreciation. They're collecting all the reward. Who do you think, you know, started all that stuff?
Yeah, but we got it from the previous generation. It's
those
all,
people. Those they didn't
back.
Do shit.
You got
what
back.
The 80s generation?
Well, all
we got from them was, you know, cocaine hangovers. We got nothing from those people.
It's funny you should say that
shit.
Because not
big
only,
car phones.
Not only did the Gen Z generation make me switch to bootleg jeans, it was also watching a lot of Seinfeld, and I was sort of, I found myself eyeing up Elaine's attire and thinking.
Oh, I was going to say, not Jerry, because, wow. Nothing screams 90s more than Jerry Seinfeld's wardrobe in every episode of
yes,
Seinfeld.
But I quite quite like the 90s look. This is what I discovered because I got my jeans in the post, right? And I was very much inspired by Elaine's bootleg in Seinfeld and the article I read. And I put them on and that's what you said. You said I looked very 90s. And I was quite cool with that. I was like, yeah, vintage.
Well, 90s. I'm into the 90s look. 90s
is now
yeah.
vintage. So.
Well, I know, which is, listen, I went to Germany and to do a gig before the apocalypse, and there was, I like to travel with sweatpants on because it's comfortable, and I realized I was in Germany 3 hours or so before the gig.
Yeah.
Give you a little window into my life before I realized I forgot my pants, my trousers. I forgot them. So I had to run to a thrift store and, you know, slim pickings. All I could get was no, like kind of a cup. I'm wearing them right now. A few sizes too big, actually, like in the waist and just like loose. And I was like, you know what?
Do you know what?
And then like everything else in the world, I was there, you know, about a year or two before and nobody listened to me. And then major publications start writing about it. So
well,
just
thing is,
typical,
though,
really.
The thing is, those jeans that you're wearing now, for the benefit of the listener, they are almost like, they are kind of a bit skinny, but they're not airtight. So they're, so I would say those are kind of skinny slash.
I got a wide berth in these things. Yeah. No,
yeah.
They're just normal.
The
they're just
the
nice.
I
mean, let's not go back to like JNCOs.
I didn't realize how skin tight my skinny jeans were. I mean, they're ridiculous.
Well,
I don't know, why did I do that to myself?
No, that's the thing. They jumped the shark for me because, like I was saying early,
it's like
when
they
painted
them on my leg.
No, I know. Back, well, girls are ridiculous with it. Like, I mean, but not just girls because this is what I'm saying. Back in the, you know, when I was younger, I was like into punk and all that stuff and rock and roll and like whatever.
Mm.
And that was like common practice. We would wear skinny jeans, you know, like that was, and so, but then, you know, it was very weird. Like, suddenly mainstream culture started to appropriate it. And it was like, what's going on here?
It started with the punk.
Well, I don't know. That's what we were always doing. Like,
I thought
it
started with Russell Brand.
You were absolutely... Well, because he had, like, a very rocky, punky style.
Yeah, yeah.
But so you see what I'm saying? Like, tight, that was a thing. And if you were into that kind of thing, you know? And then, now, I see these absolute, like... whatever, these like laddish jock guys wearing, I mean, I'm serious, the ballerina tights that these guys wear. Here's the look.
And the pumps.
I've tried to explain it to people, and people look at me like, what's the problem? Okay, you wear absolutely skin-tight leggings.
Yeah.
No socks.
Yeah.
Like a loafer, so I can see your ankles.
Yeah.
And a tight polo shirt that... And you and your body is the same physicality of like a peep.
What's a peep?
Those little marshmallows. So you have like a marshmallow for a torso, right? And that is just crammed into this tiny little polo shirt. You look like you're trying to turn into the Hulk and then just gave up a quarter of the way through. And then like, and I'm just like, I see these guys and I'm like, dude, it honestly, you... That type of guy would have beat me to a pulp had he seen me dressed like that 20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. That gets to a point where too tight, it's just too tight. Like, that is not attractive. It's too much. It's almost like too much information, isn't it? You're seeing too much stuff. But I was just reminded of when I was at uni, I actually modeled myself on Russell Brand. I did like his hair. I did the skinny jeans.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's weird how the fashion. Yeah, it's weird. I feel like I've gone into a new chapter in my life now because I've eradicated the skinny jean. I mean, you said I looked like I was from the 90s, but you also said I looked like an art teacher. And you know, I think this is my renaissance. I think this is my new look. I'm just going to look like a year 9 art teacher.
But what I don't like though is that the Gen Zers are somehow imposing this fashion law as if it's some sort, because in the article it actually said like, unless you want to look
this is
let me the arrogance of these little pricks. Okay,
well, to be honest, they didn't say that. The article writer wrote that.
Okay.
But it's interesting because I just found myself thinking, I don't normally follow fashion. I really don't. But actually, I'm with you on this. Like, I'm not, I'm getting rid of the skinny jean. And I don't think it's a rule. Like, don't get me wrong, I haven't thrown away my skinny jeans. I will occasionally wear them. I don't believe in fashion rules. I don't believe in following fashion. I believe that, you know, you should break the rules.
Yeah.
But for me personally, opening my eyes to a new design has really changed the game for me.
Wow. And my
circulation issues.
Oh, wow.
Which is a great link.
I love how you're so like, you've really taken this seriously. You're really, yeah, this yeah. is like, it's okay, I just thought, yeah, you know, it's a little bit more
like
loose.
I feel like a new woman. The blood is going to my head.
Yeah, this is actually a really good transition. And the last thing I'll say is that we just keep, my issue is with young people. Because we live in such a capitalist society, here we go. All right, people. Yeah, let me get up on my soapbox for a second. Because you can sell things to young people because they're young and dumb like all of us were and will buy fucking anything that's on TV. We're given this narrative that like they're so smart. They're so smart. And they just keep getting younger and younger. I swear to God, in 50 years, it's going to be the opinions of six-year-olds are going to dictate what's going on. We're going to see like, oh, six-year-olds say, if you're not playing Minecraft, you're out of it. Like, it just gets younger and younger.
Do you know what? That is such an old man thing to say, because that is the sign of getting old. They say the sign of getting old is when the policemen start to look younger.
Of course they say that.
They're not getting younger. It's you that's getting older.
Yeah, of course they say that. Here's the thing. Stop calling it old. It's called smarter.
Well, we've
definitely had, and yes, that's why absolutely. That's why old people, because old people feel excluded, that's why they go into their little cave and turn, you know, completely paranoid and racist.
No, I think well, we talk about age quite a lot, don't we? I'm really pro aging. I'm very pro aging. I read an article about Minnie Driver. She's 51 and she said, I love being 50. It's very free and I feel so positive about the future. And you know, I just thought, you know what, that's such a nice, I feel like we're very like youth, but actually I was watching Jane Fonda the other day and I think there's so much positivity around aging now. I really don't think that the stereotypical, I think the thing about aging is that you have to stay with it. That's all you need. You're just thinking of the sort of stereotypical old people that don't stay with it.
What are you talking about?
They probably were never with it.
I was pro-aging 2 minutes ago. How did you do that, Jedi Minder? Call it smarter.
No,
you're smarter. You're not older, you're smarter. When's the last time you asked your grandma a question? This woman, it's like talking to a time traveler. These people lived through world wars. You never talk, you know, what do you talk to them about? Nothing.
Well, all my grandparents are dead, so. But what I'm saying is, like, I don't think there should be this collision between the young and the old. I think the young can learn stuff from the old, and the old can learn stuff from the new. And you know that I think they don't. I don't. I don't really like this narrative of like, oh, young people. Oh, old people.
No,
we are all a community of people.
Honestly. We've all got, both sides of the fence have the worst examples of our bracket.
Yeah,
okay. And those are the ones those are the only ones we get shoved down our throats. So old people are out of it. They're not with it. Listen, you're young and I can attest to the fact that you act like a 97-year-old on a regular basis. Okay. And this is coming from someone who is not technologically savvy. Interaction with technology is frightening to me, really. I'm glad we're in a relationship because I don't know that you'd survive in the modern world.
I know. Well, this you were talking about I'm relying on you technically because without you, I don't think I would
Let's give the people an example. When Zara says, hey, have a look at this article online and goes to scroll, she uses the arrow key, okay? Because she has not mastered, nor can she come to terms with, on a MacBook that you use two fingers and scroll.
No,
it takes 7 years for her to get to the bottom of an article.
But occasionally it doesn't work for me. I must have weird fingers, because I know you showed me how to do it and I do it and it sometimes works, and it's not consistent enough for me to do. So I just do that.
All right. But
you said the other day, you said something. You're always coming out with really old stuff. Like you said, literally yesterday, you said, I'm going to get all the stuff that I'm taking back to Argos and put it by the door so I remember to take it back to Argos when the shops open on Monday.
Yeah, exactly. So let's deconstruct what that is. I bought some stuff at Argos, don't need it anymore, so I'm going to take it back for a refund. To get money back.
You got a little bit too excited about taking all your stuff back to Argos.
Smart person. And what do the young kids do? I'll just leave
and
it.
And also, yesterday you said, oh, I could see myself having a shed and I really want to fix stuff.
No, that is actually nice. I can really understand now.
Yeah, I think now. We are all
I can understand the meditative state one can get into by just fixing something in a garage.
Because, and also you'd have a little bit of space. You'd have your time away from me where you could just chill. But I do think that lockdown has made us accelerate our oldness. I feel, because it makes you feel like you're essentially retired. I feel like I've definitely aged over lockdown.
I reject
for
your hypothesis.
I reject. I quite like it. Okay. I'm very homely. My home. I like being, I just like, I don't know.
I reject your tainted hypothesis. I reject that. I think that this idea that an old person, this is what a bunch of bullshit. Like, I've been living like this since I was 10. You know? No response. I don't want any responsibilities. But anyway, whatever. So, whatever. Old, yes, there are definitely...
I know, but I think I feel like I've sort of mellowed into that. I'm not really seeking excitement anymore. I'm seeking routine and relaxation. And yeah, if that's how I feel older, I feel like I
all right, look, I
enjoy my comforts more. And that's what you said. You said the other day that's a sign of getting old, and is that you're all about the comfort.
Okay,
that is
well,
me.
I got to be honest. I got to be honest. You sounded like a 90-year-old right there. Yeah. So maybe you're right. Yeah, one thing we were going to talk about. So I guess this is probably something between a lot of couples, is this idea that like one of you gets sick and... I know we experience this. You get sick or you feel bad. And sometimes there's an issue between the amount of sympathy or empathy, I forget which is which, that I'm giving to you.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to it's quite a conflict between us that I'm not necessarily being as empathetic to your ailment in that moment. And,
I hate
quite a
to
problem.
Use the word the gender thing, but I do think that women are more sympathetic to their partners when they're ill. And I think that, because when you're ill, I'm very, very sympathetic. I'm very comforting and, you know, I mop your brow and things. But when...
I'm sorry, wait, what?
Well, the, you know...
When you mop my brow.
Well...
So
figuratively
that's a pretty big figurative that you come in, Florence Nightingale, mop my. I mean, you just painted a picture for people that like when I get sick, there's an infirmary in our living room, and I'm laying there. I've got one leg up in a cath, and you mop my brow as
what is it,
the 1800s? I've got tuberculosis.
I'm very tentative. I'm like, is there anything I can get you? Oh my god, you poor thing. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You're sick. Oh poor. Baby, etc., etc., right? But I do not get the same back when I'm ill.
Okay,
that's
now
that, and
all right.
I've
can I
come
just
to terms with that?
Can I say why that is?
But yes,
on my perspective, okay. I don't think it's any exaggeration to say that no less than 3 to 4 times per week you are terminally ill.
That's
okay,
an exaggeration.
You 3, 2. I, honestly,
not terminally, I suffer from migraines.
You suffer from something, and it's just, I mean, listen, I saw firsthand how women react to each other in those situations. Your friend came over the other day. It was unbelievable. You said, I am feeling whatever, and I was like, my explanation was kind of like, yeah, you know, well, you just sit down and get through it. And your friend... If we had said, yes, let's do it, I think she would have drove you to the hospital right at that moment. You were feeling totally fine. She was recommending, first of all, so many scenarios. She was like, your head could explode.
She's an old friend and she knows my history with epilepsy. And I had a very bad fever. And she said, you've got to be careful because you've got epilepsy. You know, a high fever can cause you to go into a seizure. And I was like, yes, I was. Thank you. And with you, I just got nothing. So
I understand and I'm trying, but it's like when it, but there's got to be, there's levels. See, sometimes you're vocalizing your ailment and I'm like, well, then something must really be wrong. And then I find out what's wrong is that nothing really. You want me to say, when I'm sick, okay, it's maybe once or twice a year.
And you're very lucky. But I said to you the other day, I have a lot more ailments
but
than you.
I think
I have epilepsy, migraines, a severe nut allergy. And just being a woman,
you do.
There's a lot more
You do have a lot of things wrong with you. Those things you mentioned are not happening on a regular basis. It's not like you're sitting on the couch surrounded, you know, and I'm eating a bag of peanuts as you just swell up and fall on the ground. I'm like, come on, get it together. That's not what's happening. It's like you're going, I don't even know. Like, I think I might experience the same discomfort as you on a regular basis. I just don't.
No, you definitely don't.
I just sit on the couch and
You definitely don't. And this is a common thing with migraines. People don't understand migraines that don't get migraines. So if anyone's listening and gets migraines, tweet us. And tell Russell how bad migraines are. Because he's
start a little hypochondriac.
You've never experienced community migraines. You don't understand
enablers.
What it's like.
I don't know, man. I mean, and you have this habit of, this is another thing that you do that I don't think is helping anything. Any sign of discomfort, Zara's into Google. She has a GP. Maybe you guys have heard of her. She's called Google, Dr. Google. And she will find what's wrong with her on Google. And that's law. That's just all there is to it. It's like, but the things that you investigate, I'm like, did that really need investigation? You'll be like, I know why my toe was hurt yesterday. I'm like, what? And it'll be like, I think it's the air in the flat.
No, because I got very dry skin around my mouth and I googled why do you get dry skin and the temperature had gone down, so I knew then that the reason I was getting this dry skin, like eczema around my mouth, was because the temperature had gone so rapidly down, it was extracting all the moisture from my face. And that was why. And then what, you know, that's just science.
Well, I don't want to make this
curious. Like, I just want to know why I've got this dry skin.
Okay. I don't want to make this like a male female thing, but I will say that I think solutions, some people want, like this, and I think you've even said this to me. So it's like my leg hurts, okay, I've noticed this with male relationships and female relationships. Let's say a man has a problem and he tells it to his male friend. That male friend will blame the man. He will say, "It could be anything." Like, "Oh, I went to a shop to return the. I went to Argos to return my items," and he would say, "Great idea, legend." And I'd say, yeah. And they said to me, "No, sir, you're wearing skinny jeans. Get out of here. You're an idiot." Okay? Now, that's obviously just a terrible customer service practice. The friend would say, "Well, yeah, dude, why are you wearing skinny jeans? They're stupid." You see what I mean? Whereas when a woman tells another woman a problem, she doesn't blame the woman. She blames the entire rest of the world. It doesn't matter what her issue is. This is what I've noticed. A girl could be like,
"Yes, it's called
I killed
being
a man.
A good friend.
I killed a man the other day." And that girl would say, "Oh, well, I know who that was. And yeah, well, they shouldn't make knives. So it's not your fault, sweetheart. You're beautiful. You're amazing. It's the rest. It's everything." And the whole WhatsApp group. So I'm just saying, men, we
that's why this the, is, that, do you know what this you're is, that, this that is why they made the movie "He's Just Not That Into You," because it was the first time women were like, "Do you know what? He's probably not called because he doesn't fancy you. Whereas before we'd be like, oh, maybe he's died, or maybe he's like, he lost his phone. So that was why that film was. I do think that women are like that.
Yeah.
But with the illness.
By the way, I just want to admit, it did at the tail end there turn into what I didn't want it to be, which was an 80s comedy routine on my part. So I just want to accept culpability that I am men. Yeah. And your girl, your women be like this.
Women so, be like this. But I do think.
I don't think it might not be, but I'm just saying that's my theory.
Going back to the topic of illnesses, I think that it's in women's nature to be a lot more maternal, obviously, and more sympathetic. And men are just like, oh, because I've said to you, I've got a really horrible headache, and I just get absolutely no response from you. And when I tell my mum that, because what can I? Oh, are you okay?
Exactly.
Oh, you poor
exactly.
Thing. Oh, yes.
Exactly.
I'm so sorry. And I just think.
But what? Because I don't know. Because you always have a headache.
Because I get migraines.
I know. Well, how do we solve it?
Well, migraines are a peculiar phenomenon.
There must be a way.
There's a lot of reasons why you get them.
If I was getting regular migraines, I would be down. I would be figuring this thing out.
Yeah, well,
I would at least like the opinion of a doctor who says there is no solution. You're always going to get migraines.
But I've been getting migraines since I was 5 years old, and they got me to do loads of different things, and they ultimately is probably down to
okay, well,
your
here,
boyfriend not
this,
giving you enough
wait a minute
sympathy.
Wait a minute, this is I actually figured it out because I sound very very nasty now, but I'm just gonna
sound like such a shy
no but the truth is but wait I just figured it out because you've actually admitted to me because I've said because you get migraines regularly and after a while I've said well what am I supposed to do and you say just give me sympathy.
Yeah.
That's all you want.
Yeah, that's all I want.
So it's a little taxing that what I'm expected to do in that moment, two to three times a week, is perform a 5-minute...
No.
Like Shakespearean
Do you know what you actually do by not giving me any sympathy is you make me complain about it more.
But wait.
Because I feel like you haven't heard me. So if I say, honey, I've got a really bad headache, I feel sick, and I don't get any response.
Yeah.
Then an hour later, I'm going to say, honey, I've got a really bad headache, I feel sick. But if you just initially, on the first one, just go, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. Okay, I'm really sorry. And that's it. I probably won't mention it again, and I'll just go to bed.
I know, but can you see how that's just a bit taxing? It's a bit taxing
but
to go.
It's taxing because I won't moan.
You know
much.
What's the speaking of LaBeouf? What's the difference between the way he demanded 20 kisses from FKA Twigs and you demanding that I perform this
I'm
seemingly
not demanding
it's like
it.
It's like a homeopath. I said no and you stopped. That sounded weird, but it sounds like a homeopathic ritual you want me to do that has it doesn't cure anything. It makes you feel better.
It doesn't matter. It just knowing that I've got your emotional support and that you're acknowledging that I'm in pain. That's all I want.
Okay.
And so
I'm trying. I do acknowledge.
I'm not demanding it. I'm just saying it's in your best case scenario to
you
say,
were gonna say best interest.
Best interest. Yeah, it's in your
best. Is that a threat?
It's in your best interest to acknowledge it straight away. Otherwise, I'm just gonna keep on complaining.
Well,
I feel unheard. And
ladies
unloved.
And gentlemen, I'll let you be the judge of what you've just heard. I mean, and please let it be known that I'm not some terrible. It's again, I am. Of course, I care for you when you have issues. Absolutely, we're talking about minor ailments here, and you know, yeah. This is either going to be our best episode or people are going.
This
I mean, this is the
argument we've ever had on the podcast because we've had like proper rounds.
Yeah,
this topic.
But to be honest,
but now I think we've reached.
Do you know what we should have done? We should have warned on this one because. This is the kind of topic that, I actually know in our daily life to avoid this issue.
I know.
Because
we're actually doing it. Like,
well,
in my head right now, I've got, keep it light, because I know it can go to a dark place where it's like, ah!
Well,
you don't show me enough love.
All right. Come on. It never gets to that.
No, it doesn't, to be honest.
I mean, these people are interested in our actual life. And so far, you've just made it sound like you're regularly dying on the ground while I carelessly...
While I
step over you. This is our daily life, as far as these people know. You're just on the ground. I step over you to get to the coffee maker. And then I step back over you as you scream at me that I don't give you any sympathy, which is not true, you know, but occasionally.
Well, it's good to get it out, and it'll be interesting to see if anyone else has these
issues. I'm sure people have these issues.
Yeah.
So what's the solution? Well, you just got to, you know what? I just got to be more empathetic.
But also, I've got to understand.
It's the American in me.
Yeah, I've got to.
It's the American in me. I'm just like, well, you should be stronger then.
I've got to understand your history of, you know, you're American and you don't really go to the doctor and you're...
No, you learn to live without it.
So your dad is a Christian Scientist.
Yeah, my parents are Christian Scientists, yeah.
Yeah, and they believe that...
Yeah, so I was raised like not really engaging with that, and
medicine and stuff.
And it's like, but also it's like,
which is a good
it's
way
just
to
sort
be.
Of my
I,
attitude.
I admire that in you, and I always think that I actually do really think that positivity and, you know, ignoring these ailments is a good thing. But sometimes I literally cannot ignore the pain of my migraines. So yeah, I do understand why you are the way you are, and you know. But sometimes I'm just like, just give me some sympathy.
Sometimes
I just ring my mom
3 to 4 times
like,
a week.
I need my
3 to 4 times a week. All right. Something we can all agree on. What was the thing we all agree on?
The
fuck is it? Oh, all right. Some the SWAAO.
Yeah, that. So, well, I put it SWAAO. Something we all agree.
No, I understand the acronym. It's just, well, obviously I don't.
We didn't. Yeah.
Something we can all agree on. So, I suppose this is a very appropriate episode to talk about this thing we all agree on.
Getting deep on this one
is that I think when you live with someone, it's very important to have what you've called piss off time,
yeah,
which is a time where without harming your partner's feelings, it's just an agreement between the two of you that's just like, hey, listen, I love you, okay? And I'm with you, ride or die. But like, I need like 2 hours without your face in mine. Just
when
like, can I just get some time?
I actually said that your piss off time is in the morning and my piss off time is in the evening. There's a certain part of the day for both of us where we're just like, I don't want to interact with anyone. I don't want to. I'm okay with seeing your face. I just don't want to talk to you. I don't want to.
See, I would say that right there is like one of the biggest indications of the difference between our temperaments, you know? Because like I'm a little irritable. I just am. I just am a very, probably, maybe the coffee doesn't help. But like the fact that you can have my presence, but as long as I'm like, that's great. I love that. I mean,
yeah,
and by the way, I can have yours.
I just block you out. I'm just like, but I just want to be in my own head.
See.
And I want to like just decompress without having to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my piss off time. And you're like that in the morning.
Yeah. And we both kind of know that. It's like in the morning, I get a cup of coffee, I go do whatever I do. And you're like that in the evening. And then in the middle, it's just a free for all.
Yeah. It's like, it's only for
we're
like
just
an
like
hour.
It's like an hour.
But
and then we just go cray.
I think lockdown has made us be very honest about that, because not that we weren't honest about it before, but I feel like now I can be like, do you know what, when you leave the house I do fucking jump for joy, you know?
Whoa.
Whereas like I think when before lockdown
jump for joy,
whereas before lockdown I think it was like, oh no, you've got a gig, I'm gonna miss you so much.
Oh, and wow,
like,
okay,
secretly be like, well, hey, but now I'm like, do you know what, yeah,
you know, you say that when that's hilarious to me. Oh, he's going. And meanwhile, my world caved in on March 24th or whenever this lockdown happened, because I used to wake up every day and have this house to myself all day long. And then within like an instant,
yeah,
my life was flipped, turned upside down.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, man, it's just a good thing.
But I think that's what I'm saying.
It's communication.
I think we're more honest about like how much time we need on our own, how much time, how much joy we get when the other person leaves the house. How much, I know you get an immense amount of joy when I go in for my 2-hour baths. So, yeah, solid.
I mean, it's not that. It's just more of a. It's not your being gone. It's me.
Yeah.
Being alone.
Yeah.
I think there's a difference. It's not like I'm like, oh, she's gone.
Yeah.
It's like,
exactly.
Oh, okay.
It's just alone time.
Hello, you.
Yeah.
Hello, you. I missed you, I say to myself. And then we sit and do nothing.
But I like that we're more honest about that.
You gotta
like,
be.
You know, piss,
you gotta
off,
be.
Piss off time. Get your piss off time.
There you go. Well, I hope you guys learned something on this episode. See, we're people just like you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We're not just podcasters. People.
Real.
With
real flaws.
Real people. Real.
And
I'm
real,
I'm
and real
sorry.
Stories.
I'm sorry.
And real truths.
That's right. I'm sorry if this episode was too real.
It was very real.
But it's got to be that way sometimes.
Airing our dirty laundry is what
that's
we're
right.
doing.
Well, as always, ladies and gentlemen, please share the podcast with someone if you like it. If you like, just tell someone, you know. That's the best thing. Word of mouth. Just say, hey, what have I been up to? Let me tell you. If you can rate it, if everybody who listens rated it, you know, on iTunes or whatever you listen on, whatever's got to, then it would just help massively for the podcast. And if you have anything that you want to say to us, message Zara on Twitter at ZaraBerry1.
Maybe you also suffer from migraines. Maybe
like,
also need piss off time.
Yeah, you guys need to check me and be like, hey, this is unbelievable, Russell, that you're acting in this way.
Yeah.
And I'm
also
open.
Maybe you wear skinny jeans.
And if I do seem a bit on edge today, maybe it was a little more aggressive, I'll just say that I did a Zoom comedy gig last night. So take from that what you will.
I'm going to employ some sympathy there. I'm going to acknowledge that you are in pain, and I'm going to mop your brow. I do mop your brow after most Zoom calls.
Yeah. So, you know, not exactly a cathartic experience, really. You know, a Zoom comedy gig, you feel about as good afterward as you would a good Zoom call. Just sort of,
yeah.
Well, that happened.
Yeah. And the Wi-Fi went, so that wasn't.
Oh, and the Wi-Fi went in the middle of my Zoom comedy show, thus blemishing my perfect record of super speed Wi-Fi, so. I literally would laugh at other people. I'd say, look at this guy. What's he doing? You know, when I'd see other comedians on going like, bad Wi-Fi, I'm like, get it together, man. And then here I was, the worst perpetrator.
It's all about that, BT.
It can happen to all of us. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.